keep going back and forth on Bone Flurry for the triple unholy list. Because it is nice to have, you know, a little bit of...
That's the one that does three or six if something died.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But the list is feeling pretty tight. And I want Jailbird. So... Some of the turns just feel so insane. Because you, like, if you've got an egg out there, or you just, like, throw out Mermy and Twilight Egg, and usually Sawbones you're playing for, like, three, right? Because you prepare it on two. But Defy a Smuggler is amazing with Tower of Ghouls. And Egg, actually.
Are you playing Egg of Kalos in there?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Draw for it. I took out the Egg Bearers.
I mean, if you're playing Sawbones, then.
Right? It's a thing that's going to sit there.
So you're mad at me because I was playing Egg.
Oh, that is different. But... You know that's different. That is Egg title of the deck versus, yeah, Egg's good in here.
I mean, Egg is also good in that deck.
So, current triple unholy. Messing around with quests.
I heard Quest Shaman is supposedly viable now.
How?
I don't know. I might have been hallucinating because
there's a bug
from not
that you can do it in Z Shaman
last night.
Oh,
there's a bug that you can do it in Z Shaman.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's probably why.
Yeah, because in my mind I was like, oh, I should try that. Wait a minute, it's non-functional.
Is it a bug? Is it actually a bug? Because it's a start a game effect.
Right,
and
but
your deck doesn't have any spells in it because this quest always starts in your hand. It's not. It's against the spirit of the law, sure, but if you're going by rules lawyering, that is technically correct, which is, I'm assured, the best kind of correct.
Yes. Interesting. God, this has been the expansion of, like, that's a bug, right? You know, with some genuine ones, and then
no, Spiderling is a bug.
Spiderling?
Actually, it's an arachnid.
Yeah. The Slagclaw thing was
just
one where it was like
smoothly.
This feels like it is a bug, and they've decided it is one.
Right. Well, it happens so fast too that it's like, well, right. Are you doing the math on it? Like, you know, like if you're not doing the math on it, then you're just dead. And it's like, wait, and then the game's over and you can't really go back and look at anything because the game already ended. Yeah. Right.
It's interesting. I do see your argument of, like, maybe that's not a bug. Right. Because it's similar to the Slagclaw thing of it's like, well, if the kindred adds to the battle cry. Right.
Right.
Which it should not. Then you could see how, like, oh, that's just how it works. Your kindred adds, triggers Sizzling Cinders to the death battles to the battle cry, and that gets doubled, yada yada. But
yeah, I mean, it could not be a bug and still need to be fixed, right?
I
don't know that it's actually a bug, because, like, a bug is like they coded it wrong, right?
Right.
Like, this weird interaction is different than a bug.
I guess this is a time stamp thing, right?
Right.
That it, where it's like, well,
it's when is it checking?
Like,
if
you,
it's not
if
checking
you
in
ever,
deck construction,
if you
it's checking
ever
it
mulliganed
at,
away the quest,
yeah,
it would turn off.
Yeah, then it would turn it off, right?
But you wouldn't, obviously.
Right.
I do think it's kind of cool for it to work, and I can't imagine that it's, like, busted, right?
I mean, you can't really, I mean, other than, like, Mountain Map, right? Like, you can't really control what you're going to I guess maybe you can, but like you, the only things that you really can control in that deck are like the minions that turn, or the spells that turn into minions.
And wait, you're using the other side. You're using double battle.
Oh, right? I'm confused. Yeah, no.
Right, because so, you want.
Yeah. If it has no spells, right? Okay, so it's that. You want all minions
with quest being the only spell.
Yeah, so you can't. Never mind, you can do it. Yeah, I mean, how good is it? I don't know.
Because basically, it's like we used to shutter block the quest to try and make it viable.
Yeah, this is, which was just not that annoying because it was so slow.
This is not that. But you know that you will always have a way to double it, and so that's cool.
Right.
I
mean, now that you're saying that. And I'm remembering what it was like with Shutterblock. They should probably fix it because that was miserable to play against just because everything took so goddamn long. Like, that animation is glacially slow.
Uh-huh.
And then it has to do it for every single minion that they play. So for that reason alone, allowing it to have it to proc more than the two, you know, legally mandated times feels like it just should not be allowed to be a thing just on principle alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Rogue shouldn't be allowed to be a thing. Again, on principle alone.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I've just been adding decks.
Yeah, I've noticed. Oh, Dispatch is included with Prime. That's good news. That means more people will play it.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's very good. Hopefully they will do more of it if the game industry continues to exist by the time that they would be done with that.
You mean because of all the... we're not doing discs anymore?
And layoffs.
There was a huge Xbox layoff.
Ah.
Like
4,000
1,800 people.
Holy shit.
And then another 1,800 people in the next year or something.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, like 1,800 now,
because 1,800 AI, presumably?
Well, just because they messed up Game Pass somehow, and now they're not making enough money in the game.
Really? I wonder how they messed up Game Pass.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, it's a... Well, they started out by going too all in on it, and then they had to charge more for it, and then people canceled their subscriptions because it wasn't worth it. But they went all in on it, so now they've burned all that money that they were going to get from it, and they killed the goose that laid the golden egg. Which sounds like foreshadowing for all their AI adventures. Because it's kind of the same thing where all these companies were like not, you know, charging a subscription fee and then realized that they were paying all this money and now they're going to keep increasing the cost and people are all of a sudden going to realize that they're spending money on this and questioning whether they're getting value out of it and then probably canceling it.
I already saw an article, and again, I don't know what the like data is behind this. But of a lot of big companies that had been doing their performance reviews, like, the more you use AI, the better.
Oh,
suddenly
yeah.
Being like,
yep.
Wait a minute, this is really expensive. That's a fuck ton of tokens.
Right. Yeah.
Voiced on my own petard, yeah.
Yeah,
like setting up, like, AI leaderboards and stuff like that.
Then going to send it down the chain of, like, actually, we've changed our mind on this. And then the AI companies are like, wait, but we needed you to buy all those tokens.
Yeah. So, you know. It's that's what happens, I guess, but you know, we'll see what happens. I have to be a little careful about what I say, but I mean, I've always said that it's like the whole Radium Girls thing. If you're like, you know, using it to make X-rays,
what is this
it's
reference?
Fine. Oh, you don't know about the Radium? It's a like historical reference. So okay. Like okay, I feel like I've told the story a million times, but
perhaps.
I haven't.
My memory is not
great.
I've
told it to a bunch of... It's to the point where my kids say, yeah, Dad, shut up, we know. So in when they were first discovered radium, right? You know, the stuff that we use use for X-rays.
Yeah.
They did not realize that. Well, so like they just used it for all sorts of things because we had this cool thing that was glowy, right?
Right.
So one thing that they would do, there was a big watch factory in Waltham, Massachusetts, which is the town I went to school in. So this is why I heard about this a lot. And there's a book called Radium Girls all about this. That so they made watches and they would paint the numbers on the dials of the watches with radium to make them glow in the dark.
Ah.
Which is bad for the consumer, but it's way worse for the people who
painting
work
it on. Yeah.
Because the way that you have to, because these were very small numbers, and the way that you have to get a fine enough tip on the paintbrush
is to lick it. Yeah.
Is to lick it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then everyone who worked in that factory ended up getting mouth cancer. And yikes. Yeah. And it was, but it, I mean, it took a while for that to happen because it's not going to be immediately.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's, but it's like, is radium, you know, like, is it not worth discovering? I don't think so. I mean, it has good applications. It's just that when you use it recklessly, then you give people mouth cancer.
Oish.
So that's your history lesson for today, boys and girls. That'll be on the test. So make sure to study on that.
Luckily, I have a good memory for random facts like that, especially if they make a good story that has a good allegorical use. I have a terrible memory for like names of people.
Yeah.
Names of their family members who I want to ask about but can't remember.
The direction I need to go on the highway, you know?
Yeah. That I'm okay unless I'm talking. If I'm talking, like, to someone else in the car, I will miss the most obvious stuff navigationally. Yep. Like, I go complete autopilot. I drive the same way on the same street towards the freeway, no matter whether I'm going north, south, or east.
Oh, no.
So, if I'm not really careful, I will end up going south, which is work, even if I'm actually should be going north or east. When I used to go to the East Bay all the time, I had the opposite habit. Because pretty much
everywhere.
I mean,
it's called the East Bay. You just go east, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
No, it's go west. That's the...
Well, there is the section in the East Bay where 580 East and 80 West are the same direction, and they're going south. And vice versa for the other side of the road.
I don't know how many people live in that state. Like,
I see. Yeah, I got so lost the first time when I was a teenager and I was trying to drive. And I didn't realize that I needed 580 West. I just saw the 80 East and thought, that's not the way I'm going. So I ended up going, like, way out east and then turning around in, like, a really sketchy area. And then finding my my parents are freaking out and I didn't have a cell phone yet. I had a cell phone, but I didn't have an iPhone, and I wasn't answering it in the car, so my parents were freaking out because it was late at night.
Yeah, I was about to say you are not like old enough to have driven without a cell phone. Period. Like that's like my generation.
I had like a Razor phone, and I couldn't text on it. And I was not one of those kids who could text on it, and I didn't, I guess, answer it while I was driving, or maybe it was out of battery or something. Anyway, I couldn't contact them. I did have a GPS, I think, that I eventually got to work, like one of the ones that you would put on your dash.
What? No MapQuest?
That's how we had to, when we were buying this house, it was before GPS, or at least before our easily accessible GPS, and we had to print out, like, directions from one open house to another, like in a chain, and if we missed one turn, along the way to like the first open house, we were just done for the day. And then we just drove around until we saw like random signs for open houses. We're just going to see something.
You have to go back to where you missed the turn.
Yeah.
And then make that same turn.
No, we have to go home. We have to go home and then start all the way over.
No. Not that bad. No, it was one, go back to where you missed the turn and make the same turn. Two, pull over. Pull out the map. The map of the area. Yep.
When I went college tripping through the Midwest and the East Coast with my dad, he was like, we are using real maps. You are going to learn how to use this. So I was in the passenger seat navigating on maps, actual maps. My mom had made us these insane binders with printouts of everything you could possibly want to know about all of the colleges and where we were staying and maps and... it was a little over the top, and I toured like a dozen colleges and applied to 14. It was excessive. That is not necessary. It was more out of being unable to decide than worry about not getting into any of them. Which, for anyone who knows me well, is I've always been this way.
I can't imagine this. This is like, this is as out of character as Baby Magesa playing Control Priest. Like, you know.
Oh, yes, I'm so decisive now. Magesa on the road trip, I'm tired of this, Dad. Dad, that's too damn bad. Yeah, basically. Hmm. I was proud of myself at the end of it, though. I was like, I have learned a new skill. It was also really funny touring UChicago with him, because that's where he went. But he went to UChicago in, like, because he was, like, older when he had me, so he went to UChicago in like the 50s, because he also went to college early. And so back then they had a core curriculum for all 4 years, and while we were touring he kept like offering tidbits like this about like how it was in his time, and the poor, you know, 20-year-old guide is like, is this a vampire? How old is this man? What is even happening?
It's like when my oldest, because she was going to the same school that Maureen and I went to, and she's like, yeah, there was a fire at there's basically two cafeterias on campus. And she's like, yeah, there's a fire at this cafeteria and it's terrible because now we have to go to the other one. I'm like, what do you mean it's terrible? That's the good one. She's like, no, that's not the good one anymore. Like, the good one is the one that had the fire. And like, meanwhile, I'm thinking back when we used to say flush twice, it's a long way to that cafeteria. Like, that was the joke when I was there. And like, apparently they've just both like had like a Freaky Friday situation. And now the good one is the bad one and the bad one is the good one.
Amazing.
So, yeah. Anyway, we should probably record a podcast about.
we could use this as the...
There's your post-show, pre-show, post-show history lesson.
Quick note, it is reasonable to think that it's a bug, because in the builder, Muggsy says, you don't qualify for either hero power.
Oh. Well, I guess bug is a beast, so it is, you know... Bug is a type of beast, so that does qualify as one of the types for it, what? I guess. Once again, 3 hours of sleep, that is the quality of logic you're going to be getting from me this evening.
Uh-huh.
Is a bug a sandwich? You joke. I was in... Where the hell was this week? Was it in Maine or was it in, I think it was, oh, it was in Canada. Like right after we got, it was like it was in Maine. It was in Maine. There was like a candy store and they had like nacho flavored, not locusts. It was like crickets. They had like nacho cheese dusted crickets that you could buy. It was not a sandwich, but it was a snack that we could, but we did not, because that is not the kind of experience we were looking for.
No?
But no. We did get Canadian candy on the way back, but we did not get nacho cheese dusted I mean, beaver tails are different, but that's not actually made of a beaver's tail. So it is a taco because it has nacho cheese dusting on it. Fair. Okay. Anyhow, we should record a podcast. Are we good to go? You have audition things together and everything, and
I do.
Okay.
I do. Yes, I do.
All right. Then clap in your hearts and starting the show in 5, 4, 3, 2.